From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak on the Gospel's portrait of Christ. This week we have been seeing what the Bible says about the touch of Christ, the eyes of Christ, and today we're going to be looking at the voice of Christ. So stay with us as we turn to the Word of God. That will be in just a few minutes. But first I want to talk to you about a lie that will not die. There's an old saying that a lie can travel the world while truth is putting its boots on. Lies are difficult to kill. They have more lives than a cat. This is particularly true of theological lies. For example, liberal theologians hatched a theory that the Old Testament was a hodgepodge of late documents patched together by even later editors and was not written in anything like the form that we now have it. Instead of being the Word of God, the Old Testament was reduced to being not even the work of the men whom it claimed as its penmen. It was not long before scholarly investigation demonstrated that at every step the logic of the liberals was wrong, and that their theories were not only unprovable, but untenable. But the lie will not die, and the documentary theory of long dead and long discredited liberals is still being taught to students today. Take another example. The Chicago Tribune recently reviewed a book by a leading Roman Catholic scholar, Gary Wills. Both Wills and the reviewer have stood history on its head and have made the wildest assertions as if they were established facts. According to the reviewer, the Apostle Paul took the simple liberating message of Jesus and transformed it into a hard theological system. This is a satanic lie. It has been examined and has long been led to rest by reputable scholarship. But the lie will not die. Enter Gary Wills. According to the newspaper review, he has stepped forward as Paul's champion. The reviewer even says that everybody should have such a champion as the erudite Mr. Wills. If Gary Wills is Paul's friend, I wouldn't like to meet his enemies. Will defends Paul's name by inventing a Paul who never existed, and by attacking everything we know from the New Testament about the apostle as he did exist. In passing, he states that the Gospels were not written until long after the time of Christ, ignoring the evidence from one of the world's leading papyrologists, that is, an expert in the study and identification of ancient papyrus fragments, that a copy of Mark's Gospel found in Cave 7 at Qumran dates from about 20 years after the death of Christ. Wills also attacks Luke's account of Paul's conversion, charging that he made it up, despite the evidence that has long been recognized that Luke is a meticulously and scrupulously exact historian. Wills charges that most of the epistles attributed by the New Testament to Paul were actually written by others at a much later date. He alleges that much of what the New Testament records of Paul's teaching was dreamed up by the church during the Dark Ages and foisted upon the church under Paul's name. All this flies in the face of the most ancient and well-established evidence. The text of Mark can be traced back to the time it purports to have been written. Wills's entire thesis is the old liberal lie dressed up as modern scholarship. But no matter what the evidence to the contrary, the lie will not die. The Bible is the inspired and authoritative Word of God. That's the truth. It is always the devil's purpose to make men reject the truth and believe the lie. Don't let him use the pseudo-scholarship of the erudite Gary Wills or the ignorant assertions of a newspaper columnist to make you doubt the absolute reliability and authority of God's written word. The lie may refuse to die, but never forget that if you believe it, you will certainly die, not only temporally, but eternally. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and we come to you on this station at this time each day, Monday through Friday. We're glad to have you listening in. In each broadcast, we mention our website to you, and I trust that you will go along there and see if there's something that may be of interest. If you'd like to download a program, hear again one of the sermons, check out again one of the radio commentaries, or browse our web store, you'll find much there to interest you. The website is Let the Bible Speak Radio. The word radio is important here. LetTheBibleSpeakRadio.com. I trust that you'll go along and see something that will be a blessing to you. You can be in touch with us in one of three ways. You may mail us, email us, or telephone us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us at 1-866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We'd count it a privilege to hear from you. now it's time to turn for the last part of our study on the Gospel's portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having looked at the hands of Christ and his tender touch, his eyes and the majestic manner of Christ, we now turn to think upon his voice, which speaks to us of the awesome authority of Christ.
A word about his voice, the awesome authority of Christ. This is one of the lovely themes through the Gospels. See him on the Sea of Galilee. A mighty storm has sprung up. The waves of the sea are tempestuous. They're dangerous. To this day, you know, that little stretch of water can still suddenly be whipped up into a very dangerous stretch of water. Jesus stood up amidst the storm and he commanded, "Peace, be still." And I love what the scripture says. And there was a great calm. The Sea of Galilee is like a mill pond. The Sea of Galilee at its worst is like a mill pond compared to some of the mighty tides and convulsions that wreck the human soul. One of the great joys of pastoral ministry, one of the great challenges too, is when God brings you face to face with someone you can do nothing for. Their life is like an ocean wrought upon by a hurricane. Everything is churned up. Everything is in turmoil. You can't do a thing about it. And then Jesus speaks, "Peace, be still." He still does that. "Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And he still gives a great calm. Bless God for the peace the Savior gives. He stood at the grave of Lazarus and we're told he cried with a loud voice. Why? He could have whispered and Lazarus would have heard him. He only needed to breathe and it would have been done. But emphasizing his awesome authority, speaking with what John called the voice of many waters, he invaded the kingdom of death and he commanded, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. Bless God, he's still in the business of raising the dead. I thank God for the day he stood over this dead soul and said, "Come forth." And I came forth because he gave me the life to obey. He's still raising the dead. You've got unsaved loved ones. What do you need to do? Pray that Christ will come and stand over the cave in which they're buried in their sin, and that with his awesome authority, he will command them to live. As Ezekiel 16 puts it, live! Once he does that, thank God they live. But that authority was often veiled, as it were, with beautiful tenderness. He's the shepherd of John 10, and his sheep know his voice. It's not a roaring voice that the sheep hear. It is the tender direction of the shepherd who was willing to die for them. In John 11, he not only spoke mightily to Lazarus, but he spoke tenderly to Mary and to Martha. In John 14, not long before he died, he said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." At other times he would speak with burning invective, as in Matthew 23. Even those who went to arrest him felt the power of his voice. Do you remember in John 7, the Pharisees sent some people, officers, to arrest him, and they listened to the sermon, and they came back empty-handed, and they said, "Where is he?" And they simply, open-eyed, said, "Never man speak like this man." You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, according to John 18? Judas led in these men to come and lay hold of Christ. Jesus says, "Whom seek ye?" "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And then he simply said, our version says, "I am he," and that is certainly good translation. But as he said it, he simply said, "I am." Words full of meaning to any Jew. "I am." What happened when they heard the voice of the Son of God take the very name of God as his own self-description? They fell backwards to the ground in utter confusion. Why? They felt the power of the voice of Christ. My, let us pray that Christ, our risen, exalted Savior, he of the voice of many waters, he who can sound as quiet as the babble of a brook, or can sound as powerful as the waters of a mighty Niagara, he who can tune his voice to every situation, that we will pray that he of the voice of many waters will speak in our nation, speak in our families, speak in our church services, speak in our hearts. Let me close very quickly. This Christ of the tender touch, this Christ of the all-seeing eye, this Christ of awful and majestic authority, hated hypocrisy and damned it in the strongest terms. But while he detested hypocrites, he was a lover of sinners. You see him with the woman at the well. An adulterous, filthy woman. But Jesus had time for her. You see him with the woman of the streets in the house of Simon the Pharisee in Luke chapter 7. Simon was scandalized. If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman this is. Jesus not only knew what kind of woman she was, he knew what kind of a man Simon was. And he loved her. And he saved her. He's an all-powerful deliverer. You read through the Gospels. Satan couldn't stand against Christ. Sin couldn't defeat his love. And death could not hold its prey. The beauty of Christ is not given to us in physical terms in the New Testament. For his beauty is not merely physical. That of stature and countenance. The beauty of Christ is in his character, his virtue, his holiness, his love, his kindness, his power, his purpose to save. In fact, the greatest beauty of the Savior is in his shame. We read in Isaiah 52, verse 14, concerning the cross, that his visage was more marred than any man's. The idea is his visage was so marred that no longer looked like a human face. In chapter 53, we're told when we shall see him. This is the sinner. There's no beauty that we should desire him. But yet, you know, to those who have felt his redeeming grace, they look upon that face that's battered and bloody. They look upon that head that's crowned with thorns. And what is their testimony? In the words that we read this morning, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. In the words of the psalmist, directly spoken of Christ in the 45th Psalm and the second verse, thou art fairer than the sons of men. Oh, what beauty a Christian eye sees in Jesus Christ. He is the fairest among 10,000. He is altogether lovely. I want to tell you this morning, if you see no loveliness in Christ, you're not a Christian. I don't care how many times you've walked the aisle. I don't care how many churches you've joined or how many times you've been baptized. I don't care what kind of so-called spiritual gifts you've got. If you have no eye for the loveliness of Christ, you're still blind. The eye that's opened with the eye salve of grace first sees the beauty of the Savior. I've often thought of those blind people whom Jesus healed. Can you imagine the very first sight you would ever see in the world? It's the face, the Son of God. It's the way it is when God saves you. He gives you an awe, a love, a devotion to him who's altogether lovely. You know, I'm concerned that there are many who did see Christ and many who heard him, many who saw his miracles, and yet they never came to know him. And to them, it's still true, when we see him, there's no beauty that I see in Christ to desire him. Is that where you are this morning? I agonized over this message. Really didn't want to preach it. It's a message that leaves me, to be quite honest, with a very deep feeling of the utter inadequacy of any talent or ability that I can have to deal with the subject. But I trust today that somehow, by the grace of God, you'll get beyond the limitations of a preacher. You'll catch a glimpse of Christ. If only you can know him, then this labor is not in vain. Some of you know him and some of you love him. Some of you, with the eye of faith, have caught a glimpse of him afresh. Others of you know about him, and you still no heart for Christ. There's no beauty in him. Amazes me. People can look at some long-haired, greasy-looking, drug-infested rock star and say, that's what I want to be like. Some filthy-mouthed, adulterous wretch of a Hollywood actor and say, that's what I want to be like. Yet when they gaze upon the blessed, holy Son of God, they say there's no beauty in him that I should desire him. If you're not saved today, I trust that God will awaken you to the loveliness of Christ. You'll not leave this meeting until you can say, in the words we have read and quoted from Song of Solomon 5:16, to me, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This This is my friend.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.